Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, everybody, welcome to Friday. I'm on the road, but it's Chuck Honeywell and Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
That's right. Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine. Chuck is on his way back from the meeting. You'll see him. He'll be going off of the phone, wandering down into world headquarters here, and he'll join us through the amazing technological advancements we have here at the Chuck and Julie World Headquarters Shop and at BBS Radio. Hey, Chuck, a huge day, huge week for the Colorado grassroots. Rhinos are crushed. There is gnashing of teeth and wailing and crying and wringing of hands in rhino land today. And complete silence in the media for a change, or almost complete silence. The judge in one of the many cases that we've been talking about ruled that Dave Williams is indeed the only legitimate chair of the Colorado Republican Party. Maybe Eli Brown is still changing the Wikipedia page every time somebody tries to correct it. I don't know. But we have with us one of the guys who's been involved in this in the very beginning, Tim Leonard from Jefferson County, who's traitorous chair Nancy Pelosi kind of launched all of this a few months ago, trying to launch a recall petition. And Tim, you and I think Ted Harvey jumped in on things and filed a complaint about it right at the beginning, right?
That's correct. We did. We were given a copy of the petition. Basically, I think I was, since we're in Jefferson County, and we saw that it was just a list of first names, last names, and counties. And we showed that to the executive committee, and they ruled that, like we had said, that that's not a valid petition to be able to have that. No date, no chain of title, no addresses, no signatures, no anything. And even the other folks would represent, Todd and Nancy represented, oh, we got enough signatures, and there was none. And so the executive, the state chair, the state executive, a committee ruled that absolutely these are not valid. Go out and collect real ones and do it the right way with some kind of chain, some kind of acknowledgement, because we found errors in there. And then we brought that up in August at the meeting with the state central committee, and the state central committee agreed with that same posture that said this petition never should have been presented, and it's completely invalid.
Well, and Chuck, everything they did has been invalid, right? So they went on from their invalid petition to another invalid petition to an invalid meeting and then to finally an invalid vote, right?
Well, yeah, they cornered the market on invalids. I mean, they were unbelievable. And they're in shock. The court kind of, wait a minute, you can't just say whoever you want to be is 60% of all the people. It's got to be 60% of the membership. Like, oh, no, well, we can just get 20% there. You know, it's all set.
Well, that's what the judge was kind of saying. It's like, you can't change the rule. He said the bylaws clearly prohibit that, and even common sense does. So there's some 400 members of the Central Committee, and I think the judge was saying, you can't get five of your friends to show up and then say, oh, two-thirds of the friends, you know, voted that I'm the chair now, and suddenly declare yourself the chair, which is essentially what they tried to do, right, Tim?
That's exactly right. I think the court had some really good rulings. Obviously, the biggest one was exactly what you said, Julie, that Dave's the only legitimate chair, that they were not removed, the three officers, and three new officers were not put in place. And so I think that really clarified the issue, because there was some, what I thought was a lot of chicanery that took place. And it mostly started with their legal experts, which was most likely Chris Murray, that came and said, well, it's ambiguous whether it's all of the entire membership that's there present, or if it's all the entire membership of all 414 members. And therefore, because it's ambiguous, we here in this room today are now allowed to be able to make it unambiguous and make the statement. And that really, the judge really wailed on that and said, it's not ambiguous. And just because you might have a different interpretation of it doesn't make it ambiguous. You should have never had that to begin with. And it's very clear. And it was nice that the judge said it's unambiguous.
That's
and
right.
This is very clear. The membership is the membership.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Apparently it's still ambiguous to Eli Bremmer, because he wants to appeal that. He's, oh no.
Well, I thought they were going to have some settlement discussions. Is that ongoing, or is there not going to be that?
Well, wait, can you check out?
I hear what it is. I mean, he said, okay, you know, I've made the ruling, and if you want to have a trial, of course, you can't win the trial, but if you want to give us more reasons why you're invalid, well, go ahead. And then if you do all that, then you can appeal it to the Court of Appeals. And, you know, sometime next year, they'll say that Eli Bremmer was not the party chair. You would think there'd be massive settlement negotiations including they're paying some of the attorney's fees they had to pay for all their chicanery.
Well, and let me clarify too, or point out, I should have said this at the beginning, Dave Williams, the real GOP chair, will be on the show at the bottom of the hour, so we can get the updates from him. But yeah, you're right. I mean, let's go over some of the atrocious things. So Eli Bremmer was running around and every 5 minutes was changing the Wikipedia page, like who pays any attention to that? But he was trying to raise money. He was he and Todd and Nancy and all of those people. And, you know, just so folks know, we're getting a list of all of the names of the traitors, and we will be making that public far and wide. So they're not going to be any more hiding among us and saying, oh no, I'm secretly on your side. And then we'll be able to see who's who, which is one of the good things that this revealed. But Tim, I think
you saying those names? I did present to the whole state committee all the names of the people that were on that had signed that petition, because that was part of the discussion we had to have. They had to see exactly how they signed, you know, how they signed up, and they got to see all the names. And I did have somebody come up to me in there and say, how could that person have signed? They're not even a central committee member. And it was like, yeah, of course. So
we're going to get that, and then we're going to get names of the people who voted. We're going to get names of the people who attended. We're going to get names of the people who, you know, one thought I had, and you know, I know we're supposed to be unified now, and I agree with Dave, we can. But I'm sorry, Gabe Evans, Jeff Crank, Lauren Boebert, all of the congressional leaders.
Lauren did not per se sign these things. So she's a tweener.
Yeah, she's a tweener.
And neither did Sergey.
Yep. But all those people who jumped out and said, oh, you know, and the media was like, oh, Dave Williams isn't the chair. I mean, they all are eating crow today. Not Jason Crow, but they're all, you know what I mean? And good, because
if Jason Crow has been sacrificed and is presently being eaten by
the Haitians and the Colorado. and I think one thing, too, that I find especially appalling about what they did, and that's why I'm glad the judge ruled quickly, is that you know, I have had people say, well, the Republican Party's in disarray, right? And you want to say the Republican Party is not in disarray. The real Republican Party is busy. Darcy and those guys are working hard. Dave put out an email I just got about 5 minutes ago calling for help with the opt-out lawsuit, which, by the way, Eli Bremmer would have killed. I mean, the real Republican Party is doing just fine. It's raising money. It's working for candidates. It's handing out yard signs, which Eli, by the way, doesn't have any of.
And yeah, Eli said he had Trump signs, and so people called him, and he said, well, I actually don't have Trump signs. Where's my sign? Where's my sign, Eli?
Yeah. And so, I mean, to me, I mean, Tim, that's the worst thing, that they, with the fake Anschutz media industrial complex, were able to give this portrayal of the Colorado Republican Party as being in bad shape. And I don't think it is. I mean, you work in it every day, practically. What do you think?
Well, what I really, I would totally agree with you. And what I really liked, which was resolved in this, even though this court case was only a very small portion, basically said that these three officers were not duly elected. But what it really showed is that these fake officers bent the rules. And every time they were given a chance to cheat, lie, or steal, they did it. And I think that now gets to show it. It also shows that they all they wanted was controversy. And if they keep going from here, they just want controversy and divisiveness. They want to blame it on Dave, but Dave's been that's another thing it shows. Dave's a great leader for the GOP chair. He does exactly what he's supposed to do, which is take the fight right to the Democrats. All that this started all about, well, we don't want too much truth out there. We don't want our candidates to be able to say what they mean and be exactly on our platform. And Dave is just the opposite, wants to hold everybody accountable and wants good Republicans to be good Republicans. And so even his volunteer vote that he did in August showed that he has overwhelming support by everybody in the Republican Party that has a vote, and that he's doing a great job. And that the only ones that are hurting the party are these fake Republicans that are trying to brew it up.
You know, and let me read Charlene. She's absolutely agreeing with you, one of our listeners. She says, Eli's going to keep going with the idiocy. Chaos and fracturing the party is his real mission. I can't support any of the Rhino politicians that supported him. Jeff Hurd, Jeff Crank, they hurt their campaign. They just made up rules to create chaos. And Charlene, you're absolutely right. That's my big question is, I'm not sure, and maybe you know, Tim, but who's paying for all of this? Somebody is paying Chris Murray a ton of money. Eli Bremmer and Todd Watkins and Nancy Pelosi aren't paying for this out of their own pocket. So I don't know if the donors that, you know, the Rhino Uniparty donors are going to say, hey, keep going because they like the chaos, or if they're going to back off. I mean, that'll be determining it. But Charlene, you're right. This whole thing is about the Uniparty Rhino establishment, open border, close the pride. Keep the primary open, rather, all of those things that are not Republican things. That's all they wanted to push, and they want to create chaos and so they can get power back, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's only about power and, of course, the money that would come with it. But it's the ability to change from what the grassroots wanted. They've had that power all the way through the Dick Wadhams, everybody else. And so they just want it back, and they don't like other donors coming into the party and having good candidates and running exactly what the Republicans Party is supposed to run. So I think that I would like a settlement, but at least we now the grassroots with Dave Williams and Hope and Anna are in a great position, because if they go through with the trial that's coming up in about 2.5 weeks, I think, they still have to resolve the issue, was the meeting properly called? And that has to do with the petition, which Ted Harvey and I, you know, really drove a stake in. So we're more than happy to be able to drive a stake again in that one.
Yeah.
And then was there a quorum? Was the other thing of, well, is it proxy or in person? We don't know. Now, both of those, from the Watkins and Eli's point of view, are mute issues, because it doesn't really matter if the meeting was properly called. If they win that one, they still lose.
Right.
And if they win on the quorum or that, so they have a losing trial that's going on ahead of them, which would push them to settlement. And at the same time, Dave doesn't have to negotiate if he doesn't want. But in the settlement, they have to, our side has to be really clear that we want that money back. We want those attorney's fees back from them. And that's how we'll find out who's actually funding their campaign, when
they'll
cough up the money to pay for it. And at the same time, they should make sure in the settlement that Watkins and Pelosi immediately resign from their officially elected positions that they have both in Jefferson County and in El Paso as chair and vice chair. And they need to do that. And that, to me, it is enough to be able to show the apology of these were wrong people. They did the wrong things and they were held accountable. And then, of course, Chris Murray needs to be held accountable, that he is a huge conflict of interest, that he goes back in and sues the same folks that he was representing before. And that that needs a proper legal remedy, a penalty for that.
Let me, and Chuck, I know people have been talking about damages and things like that, but you're the lawyer. What exactly can they seek?
Well, they haven't filed an answer.
Okay.
So they can file counterclaims against Eli Bremmer and everyone else. If they don't do that, well, they can cover their costs, which goes to the prevailing party, and you get attorney's fees if the judge deems the litigation to be vexatious and frivolous. And so it's, you know, they could potentially recover hundreds of thousands of dollars, and who only Eli Brimmer has any assets, as far as I know. And maybe they can go out, get after his dad. But it's, you know, the one thing I want to note is what is the ultimate goal of the Uniparty? What is the ultimate goal of all these people who brought this? It's to get rid of the parties. That's why we've got 131 coming up. We'll give us jungle primaries and ranked choice voting. And so the parties won't exist. And you can find out what Phil Anschutz thinks about that by going to Colorado Politics, as it has a big article saying reforms of the political system are far ahead. I mean, that's they know that if they can destroy the parties, then only they matter. Only money matters.
Yeah.
Once you get rid of the parties, then it's just rich people. It's only by some organization that average people get to participate. So they're more than happy to destroy the party. They want to destroy all the parties so that only rich guys can nominate people, and only the rich guys can have enough name recognition by pouring money in to it'll possibly win. So the idea that this is helping destroy the Republican Party, as far as they're concerned, as long as Phil Anschutz and all the rich people concerned, great. We get rid of all the stupid voters and grassroots people, and nobody is going anywhere. Yeah, it'll all be Democrats, but, you know, it'll be Democrats we support. So it's really sickening, because you'd say, well, why have they, several weeks before the election goes on, are they doing this? It seems to be insane. It's not. They're trying to destroy the ability of the average citizen to have any say in their government.
Yes. And I think you're absolutely right, Chuck. I mean, and in the end, and that goes back to what we were talking about before is, you know, will they settle? Will they not settle? I mean, and to a certain extent, sadly, they've accomplished part of their goal in that they've created this divisiveness in the Republican Party. I mean, and they've made it public, and you got Channel 9's Kyle Clark chiming in, Mandy Connell, oh no, she's not going to be a Republican anymore. Go figure, you know, don't let the door hit you.
No, not Mandy Connell.
Yeah,
Mandy God.
And I think, and you're right. And so that's, I mean, anything they could do to make the party look bad, because, you know, Tim, here's the thing, like you pointed out, they're going to blame Dave on the election. If you know, if Republicans lose, they'll blame Dave. If Republicans win, they'll say, oh, it was because Eli was chair for like 2 days, or claimed to be chair. And then the reality is they lost, they being the Uniparty establishment rhinos, have been in charge of the party up until now. And they lost in the last election cycle worse than Colorado has ever lost. And that's following other election cycles of losing worse than we ever lost, right?
Yes. And that's, and we get the Republicans that we put up. And look how many Republicans, when I served in the House, there were some there that we could not believe they actually had an R after their name by how they voted, whether it was on all the social issues, tax issues, anything else. Well, because they came from a Republican district, and they knew if they put a D at the end of their name, they were never going to get elected. But where was the chair to be able to weed them out, just like Dave has done? Where was the survey that said, hey, why are you running as a Republican when you don't believe in any of this? We'll get somebody else to do it. Here's the great thing about this whole episode is it shows how desperate this Uniparty is once the grassroots starts to take some ground. And so we have exactly done that. We've installed Dave and great officers and have been doing great things and had good candidates come into it. So this court ruling shows that the grassroots was right, that we stick together, party of common sense, that we're not divisive at all. We didn't start this or do any of it, that we speak the truth. We take the debate right to the Democrats, and that Dave is doing a great job as a chair because he's doing all those things. And that's why so many people support him. So this has backfired on them because it's done nothing but unify and give a victory to the grassroots folks. And it's now made them more desperate. And if they don't settle and they go forward, it'll show how desperate they really are, and they're going to continue losing, and they're going to lose their voice. And all the Kyle Clarks in the world can talk all they want about it, and all the other talking heads, and they're not going to make any progress. They're not going to convince anybody of anything because they've already seen the writing on the wall.
Well, one of our problems has always been that you always had a lot of foxes in the henhouse who were claiming, "Oh, I'm very conservative. I'm absolutely grassroots," and they weren't. They were lying, but that's what it took. Now we have lists. We can identify all the people, all 77 that showed up, and the proxies, and we can also compare it to all the people who showed up for the real meeting and gave proxies. So it's identified who are the people, because no one is a conservative who pretends to be a rhino. It just doesn't work that way. I'm really a rhino when you're a conservative. No, it's always the rhinos that are hiding among us, and this has exposed them.
That's right. Well, and keep in mind, they never really did have any actual complaints about Dave, right? They didn't like that he did that. I mean, they just wanted to get rid of him for power. And you're absolutely right, Chuck. None of these people, and again, we'll be making that list public. It's like we're compiling it as we speak, and just because it is going to be exposed. So we want to make sure that we don't have anybody on it who shouldn't be on it. And doubly, we want to make sure that no one's still hiding, you know, in the weeds someplace.
Well, there will be some weed hiders because you're going to have, let's see, you know, 100 plus on their side, close to 200 on our side. So it'll be about 60 or 70 people who are on, show up on either side. So maybe you can hide there. But the McCarneys and the Brett Ahorns and all the other ones that would pretend to be conservative and Trump supporters, you find out what they really are.
Well, I mean, and Tim, just so you know, it's like people, Sandra's saying good points, Tim, grassroots taking back some ground from Charlene. And then Charlene says, yes, nay, names. And then Jim is like, what's the Uniparty's next ploy? Get ahead of it. Well, and they're doing what they can. And I think,
well, they're only getting to do 131. They're going to work to get 131 passed.
This tells you one thing, too. I saw an email. So the Colorado Republican Party, the real Colorado Republican Party, has been holding Zoom meetings that anyone can attend. They're putting out emails far and wide on this rank, on the ranked choice voting issue, right? And I saw an email that said none of the party chairs, well, that they had sent it to, were attending these things. Now, maybe there's some good excuses, but I think that there are some party chairs out there, and I won't name names yet, who are rhinos, who would be happy to see the jungle. And that's why they're not fighting it, right? You'd think that I, you know, again, if that passes, then all of what we're talking about here is moot, I think. So that's why we need people like Dave. And Tim, as you said, that's why they're so afraid of Dave, is because he was making it, if he was ineffective, if he was, you know, Ryan Call or something like that, Ken Buck, they wouldn't care. But he was effective and he terrified them.
No, all the uniparties are back there pushing 131, including Phil Anschutz. And all I have to do is look into Colorado Politics, which he owns, and watch them promote. Oh, the electoral form is moving quickly and crushing the antediluvian views of the crackers.
That's us.
That's us. Yeah. No, it's
well, amazing. It is telltale. And I think Dave should be encouraged on this, obviously, and not just because it's a call it a personal victory, but it's because the grassroots all got a victory and say, hey, Dave, we want you to do what you're doing. A lot of people have come forward and will come forward now more, just as the other folks scurry out of the light as this happens. And it'll make it easier to bring people into the party, because this whole opt-out business, which, as you well know, you know, we never had before in the history of politics until the last few years, 5 years, I think it is. And it's been a disaster. And we've been losing every battleground, whether it's with the candidates on these kind of elections or the candidate quality themselves that we're running. I don't know how to talk about abortion or homosexuality or any of these other things. So let's just please stay away from it. And yet abortion's front and center for all these elections. And Dave is the one showing them exactly how to take it right to them and say, radical, it's you guys that are radical on all these issues. And we've been losing over and over and over again with the same strategy of let's be nice, let's not have a big battle. And of course, that's the ones we lose. And those are the most important ones to win.
Well, and what they're also doing that is just so smart, the real Colorado Republican Party has been working hard and making a difference. Darcy, I got another email from her today talking about how, you know, this bill that passed in the last legislative session that allows teachers to, you know, the kids have to identify their pronouns and you don't have to notify parents, but you can essentially opt out of it, just like cities can opt out of the safe spaces, no gun stuff. So the GOP, the real Colorado Republican Party, has been taking a leadership role and showing parents and school boards and municipalities how they can fight, not just like hold little rallies, but how they can actually take legal steps to fight back and protect themselves and protect their communities. I mean, I think, Tim, what the uniparty establishment people, that's one of the other things they don't like, is because we're also fighting back effectively.
Yes. And look at the battles, all our battles that we have, keep backing up on us, right? Remember those civil union days? Oh, it's just civil unions. Oh, now it's just it's marriage. Oh, well, your insurance has changed. And we have lost so many battles. And look at now we're all in the pronouns and boys and girls sports. And it's gotten where just to play defense, we've already lost a lot of ground.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
The only way to do this effectively is exactly what Dave's doing and has done, which sparked all this, was, you know, the whole pride in your face on the homosexual agenda stuff. And by taking it to them, it's just trying to get our ground back and be normal. And that's where 85% of Americans are anyway.
And
it's just a matter of being normal.
And it's like, this is from Charlene. She says, great work by your guest. I don't know his name, but he's awesome. His name is Tim Leonard. Tim Leonard. And he's a former legislator. He's in Jefferson County and he's an activist. Well, and here's where there's hope. I'm going to reference our producer, Thomas. So Thomas was telling us last time there's a new video game out, right, that has gone totally woke and it's losing billions of dollars. And it's kind of funny. So on the way home the other day, I was asking Rev, our 13-year-old son, about it. He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, let me show you some of the pictures. He said, you have to pick your character with pronouns. He's like, who was that? You know? So the youth of America is
it's our hope, right?
It's like they can't, the video games, you can put it out there, but no one plays it. And instead, Rev's showing me, and I'm sure Thomas knows, all the stuff making fun of it too. So when you got 13-year-olds saying, because he was showing me one of the characters was like this fat, ugly, he, she, they, them kind of thing. And Rev's like, who would buy that avatar? It's like no one. So pushing back is good because there's hope. We just can't give up, Tim.
Exactly. And, you know, and we know because we've been in this political battle, it when you get down the nitty gritty, of course, it's just what we're doing here, right? Talking about a lawsuit and the win and settlement or anything else and the consequence of that. But in the big scope, it is always the battle of good versus evil. And that's really where we have to keep our mind. And guys like Dave know that, and they take that issue right to the voters and right to the people and the activists. And the grassroots people are relieved that someone is acknowledging that these are big issues. They're raising children, taking care of parents, all those things that are consuming our heart and our emotions. That's what we want to be able to deal with. And to make sure that we're fighting along these same grounds. And so that's why I think it should be, all this is very encouraging if we keep our mind on the good, the true, and the beautiful, because that's really what we're here to promote.
All right. The only thing I disagree with is, hell with this settlement. Let's have a trial. Let's, you know.
Cost him money.
they can't win the trial because the judge has already ruled against them. They want to go to trial. Okay. We'll go to trial.
Hey, listen, Tim, we're going to let you go because we have Dave, the chair of the party, the real chair of the real party with us now. Thank
great.
You so much for all you do.
Yeah, you're great.
My pleasure.
Sponsors, thank you. All right.
My pleasure. Tell Dave
All right. Okay, Dave, Tim says hi. Okay, we do have with us now Dave Williams, the real chair, the only chair of the Colorado Republican Party. Hey, Dave, thank you for your time. This is Party Friday, so kind of a lot to party for today, huh?
Yeah, you bet. And just as an aside, Tim's a great guy. I got to serve with him in the legislature. And so anytime you have him on your program or anyone has him on the program, you're going to get a wealth of knowledge and wisdom, because that guy doesn't miss much. I promise you that.
No, he does not.
I can guarantee you haven't been in The average legislator, especially on the Republican side, is a moron. That doesn't mean they're all morons, but
Tim, not
not
for
Tim, not Stephanie Luck, not some others, but on average, they're morons. And so when you have
Kurt
to,
Meyer.
okay, she's not a moron, she's just an evil.
All right, never mind. Go ahead. Yeah,
Well, Bob Kirkmeyer. And so the fact that you got somebody that bright, that articulate, and it's like Dave, that bright, that articulate is so great for the Republican Party, as opposed to having Buckwheat Holtorf talking for you and some of the other ones who are just Kamala Harris's in their own right.
Well, David, one of the things, let me jump into my first congratulations, but Tim was saying, and maybe want you to address this. He said one of the reasons that they're doing all of this stuff, the Rhino Uniparty establishment people, is because you and the Colorado Republican Party is being effective. I was mentioning we got the opt-out email from you, right? We got Darcy's email about how parents can fight for, we've got the emails about how to fight the whole safe spaces thing. I mean, you guys are being effective. Don't you think? And I think that's why they're going after you. If you were another Ken Bock, they probably would have just let you be.
It's hard to imagine why anyone on their side, anyway, would expend this much energy, this much time and money going after us if they didn't perceive us to be some sort of threat to their agenda. And their agenda is not good. I've been doing this for a while now, and I won't speak ill of any of our nominees. Maybe after the election, we can discuss the facts about particular individuals. But the truth is, there is an establishment cabal, an insider group of individuals who have always tried to exert improper influence over the Republican Party, and their main goal was to simply enrich themselves, whether it was enrichment of power or enrichment of actual wealth. They did it for their own means, and when the grassroots took over the party, we decided that's not what we're about. We're about the people. As such, they didn't like that, and they've done everything they can to undermine this administration because it's a threat to their establishment agenda, and
And
God willing, we stop them.
where's the big money on the Republican side? It's either absent or it's Americans for Prosperity. And I can't tell you how many people don't realize how evil and awful Americans for Prosperity are these days. They are truly a left-wing outfit. They were up in Wyoming supporting rhinos. They are with all their money. They're not a grassroots organization, as they claim, but Charlie Koch is giving them lots of money, and they support rhinos. That's what they do. And so in Colorado, you got Jeff Crank and you got Gabe Evans and so forth, who they poured money through. They don't support them because they're real conservatives. They support them because they're rhinos and they hate Trump, because the National Family, National Americans for Prosperity really were putting tens of millions into Nikki Haley's campaign to defeat Trump. And only after she lost so bad and had to get out of the race did they put tens of millions into people like Gabe Evans and Crank and Herd and the rest of them. So it's sad. It's sad that on the Republican side, the money and the power, with the exception of the party itself, is just rhinos. So they support
I
Democrats.
think what the grassroots and your audience and viewers need to fully appreciate, especially when we're talking about the Republican Party versus the Democrat Party, and really what we mean to a certain extent is the party apparatus itself, but really who we're talking about are the actual nominees and then the people that go on to get elected into these positions of power. Many of them are doing the same thing. It's just a difference of degree, perhaps, right? Many of them are growing government. Many of them are taking taxpayer money, taking more freedom and liberty from folks. And the difference is they have an R to their name or they have a D to their name. And maybe the Democrats do it more, maybe the Republicans do it less, but they're still doing it. And there's a whole movement of America First patriots like us that are saying, hey, no, we shouldn't be growing government at all. We shouldn't be taking money from people's pocketbooks. We shouldn't be taking their freedoms or getting involved in how they interact with other people. I mean, we actually want to be a limited government.
Well, there was almost every really lousy bill in the state legislature by the Democrats had Republican co-sponsors, which tells you something.
Well, let me David.
Liberty Scorecard is where you can go and really find that out.
Yes, they're great.
Not
Let me jump
all
in.
Republicans are good.
Exactly. Let me jump in and kind of ask you, because you're the one who knows. So the judge ruled totally in your favor and, in our favor, and said you and Anna and Hope are the only legitimate members of the party. The vote was not legitimate, and nor could you even imagine that it was. There were other ancillary issues that there could be a trial for. What is the, I mean, can you give us any insight in terms of what happens now?
Right. Well, technically, there's still a trial. The judge would have to basically cancel it. I think it's referred to as vacate the trial. But before we get to that point, I think both sides have to agree on that. Otherwise, it's just going to continue on. We got to show up and make an appearance on October 14th through the 16th. And from the party's perspective, we want to see what the other side is ultimately going to want to offer us, because we are expecting them to want to get out of this situation as quickly as possible. But the thing that we are going to publicly point out is that the party's been harmed.
Yes.
The party's been harmed by their actions, and that these individuals don't get to operate with impunity. There needs to be some accountability, and I think right now that's the back and forth and tug of war that our party attorneys are going to be engaged in with their side.
What about now? So Eli Brammer has been parading around. He was in Washington, D.C., taking pictures. He's been, changing, putting himself up on Wikipedia and ostensibly raising money. What about
On
that?
behalf of the Republican
Calling
Party.
himself the chair of the
Right, right.
Republican. What happens with, I mean, that's got to be, well, I don't know.
Right. I've often joked about this. In our day and age, there are a lot of grown men that like to identify as something they're not. And in this case, that's certainly Eli Bremmer. Eli has no shortage of self-confidence, I suppose, if I'm being generous. So it's not surprising to me that he went around and engaged in this falsehood, this fraudulent attempt to be relevant when he's not. And when I talk to my treasurer and I talk to my team about this, it appears to us that he has definitely raised and spent money in excess of $1,000. And it's our responsibility as a party to not only protect the organization, but also to hold those people accountable in the public eye. We feel it's necessary to notify the Federal Elections Commission as well as the Secretary of State, even though we don't like her, but that's still the governing
The
authority.
only one there, yeah.
We need to notify them that we believe that there are potential issues related to campaign finance disclosures as they solicited and expended funds or engaged in certain agreements that they were not authorized to do, and we are not responsible for it. That's
Right.
whatever they did, that's what they did, and you need to hold them accountable, but we are not taking responsibility for any of that.
Well, what about the money they raised, though, too? I mean, if he raised money, then that money is sitting in a bank account somewhere,
If it
and
was,
people who gave it thought they were giving it to the Republican Party, which is you
right.
guys, not
So
him.
we're exploring our legal options in the event that they actually did raise money. But there's a couple of things that we would want to make sure before we would even try to transfer those assets to the party. One, was it legally obtained? Two, was it within the contribution limits that are laid out? How was it collected? Was it for state purposes or was it for federal candidates? I mean, these are all questions that we have to unpack before we would want to seek sort of a change of custody. I mean, we don't know, but if they had collected these assets or money or anything like that under the party name, and they did it within the boundaries of campaign finance limitations, then you bet we're gonna demand that money be transferred to the party, because it belongs to the party, not to Eli
Right.
Bremmer or anyone else.
What about just
Well, but I mean, I should look at it with the limits, and the limits are pretty strict on getting money to the party. Chris Murray probably has spent or has had put in his accounts 100 or more thousand dollars. Is that money all been legally raised? And it hasn't. He's got to disgorge that back to the party.
It would be our position if it was obtained under our name and they adhered to the campaign finance limitations, then that money needs to be transferred to the party for
Yeah,
sure.
I mean,
What about, and this is, and we'll get out of this because I know we're getting in the weeds here, but just this
no.
occurs to me. So Chris Murray, who we did a whole thing on, who has been accused of financial, ethical, and legal malfeasance. And it's just astonishing when you look at what that guy as a Colorado Republican Party general counsel did. But so that's say, so theoretically, he was claiming in these lawsuits that he represented the Republican Party. Now, I'm assuming somebody was giving him money somewhere. So it seems to me that he's pretending to be, it'd be like if I
He
pretended to be a
was.
lawyer and then was getting people to give me money saying,
No, he was purporting to be the legal counsel to the Republican Party.
Right.
Right. So shouldn't he have to give whatever money he raised to pay himself? Shouldn't he have to give that to the Republican Party? And or is
We
that over here?
wouldn't argue with that point of view, of course. I mean, look, if he raised money on behalf of the party or anyone else raised money on behalf of the party and they put it in their own accounts, then we would want to transfer those monetary assets to our accounts, provided that they were legally obtained, right?
Right.
So, well, I say that loosely because they shouldn't have obtained it, but within the
Right, right.
boundaries of campaign finance limitations, right?
Right.
So yes, but we don't know that yet. These are things that we have to find out, and if we have to, file court actions to force discovery and all that, we'll do that. But we are certainly demanding from the other side that they give us all that information. Like, we want to
Yeah,
know, what
what's
were
the
your
record?
activities for the past month?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing too, and I know I'll say this, and you may have to be more polite about it, but I think that in the end, they look like complete freaking idiots, right? They look like the frauds that they were. They look like the imposters. Kyle Clark, Complete Colorado, all the media who jumped up and down and, ooh, Dave's not the chair anymore. They all just, I don't know. You should have made a bet with them where they had to do something embarrassing or something like that if you won the lawsuit. I mean, I think they look awful, and I think that in the end even makes the grassroots stronger.
I mean, they have no shame, right?
Right.
So if we're talking about whether or not they're embarrassed or they think they look awful, I don't think they care. But I think to the average person that's paying attention, right? I mean, they didn't do what they purported to do, right? The scoreboard is the scoreboard, and ultimately that's what the judge ruled on, right? You needed 248 votes. You only got 161. Even if I agreed with you on everything else, which he didn't, because he wanted to reserve that for trial, the fact is they didn't get 248 votes. That's it. That's the scoreboard, and that should have been sort of the calculation that any reasonable journalist or pundit or any observer looking at this should have understood. Well, they didn't get three-fifths. They didn't get the requisite number to get rid of the officers, and therefore this was all fraudulent. But that ran counter to their narrative, so I'm not surprised.
So then I said, well, what the, on the plus side though, I think that says a lot, and maybe let me, question on this is, so to me, that says a lot about the strength then of the grassroots in the Republican Party in Colorado. And where do we go? I mean, now that hopefully you don't have to deal with this at least hourly anymore, where do we go from here?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, we have an election in about 6 weeks, right? So we need to certainly focus on helping to elect Donald Trump and running up the numbers here. And even if you don't think Donald Trump has a chance in Colorado, which I will dispute, especially since I'm the chairman, the real one, we can still help out Donald Trump in other battleground states, right? We have a great operation that we folded into with the Trump campaign. It's called Trump 47. We need to get people involved there, not only to make calls here, but also elsewhere in those highly competitive states. That's number one. Number two, I think long term, we as a movement, the grassroots movement, what we saw coming from Todd Watkins and his group is that first we got traitors within our midst, right? We have people that purported to be grassroots and good people, but then they turned out to get in bed with the enemy that they once publicly decried, mind you. If you told me a year ago that Todd Watkins, who is supposedly for protecting the January 6 prisoners, or he's against Dominion and the crooked elections. At least that's what he said a year ago. Got in bed with the Brownstein former attorney that, well, he didn't represent Dominion, but their firm did, right? And Murray, of course, is the same individual that won't dare go against the Wayne Williams, Jenna Griswold narrative of our elections being the gold standard. I would have said you're crazy. That's not Todd. Well, it is. This is Todd. This is who Todd Watkins is, and those people. So we need to certainly do a better job of making sure that we certainly vet those who claim to be a part of our movement, and then be very cautious with who we trust. But number two, we need to start kicking out these establishment insiders who want to make the party for themselves and their friends rather than serving the people. And I can assure you that there are well over 100 people within the Republican Party that probably shouldn't be a part of the Republican Party Central Committee, right? They can be registered, they can vote, and that's fine. We can be a Big Ten, but if we're going to be a functioning organization that's going to succeed on limiting government, then we need to get the people who disagree with us out of the Central Committee and elect more patriots.
Now, how would you do? You mean, are you talking about censoring people and voting to get
No,
rid
I'm
of them, or are you
talking,
talking about the PC and the
we
whole
have,
process?
yeah, I mean, this is sort of the precinct process that we have to, replicate or do a better job at. We through reorganizational meetings, right? Party elections at the county level, because that's going to feed
It
in at
matters.
the state. We need to get good county chairmen, vice chairs, and secretaries elected, so as to make sure that the state party remains in grassroots hands.
Final question for me, because we're almost out of time here. Just anything else? I'll give you just an open mic here.
Well, no,
Oh,
I
Chuck,
want
okay, you don't get an open mic. Never mind.
no open mic. So since they've asked us three or four times, and Tim and others, where does the potential for settlement stand?
We are certainly not satisfied with any offer that says we shake hands and go our separate ways. That's not happening. So if that's what they're putting on the table, we're gonna have to come back and counter, because again, our party has been harmed, our candidates have been harmed, and our ability to be as effective in this election has definitely been hindered. And so let me put it to you this way: we're looking at probably high five figures going into six figures on this litigation. If we could have spent that earlier on, that would have been better, as opposed to spending that kind of money now, because now we probably need triple that amount to be as effective as we might have been 4 weeks ago. So that's the type of harm that they've caused. And if their settlement agreement is let's just walk away and part ways and let bygones be bygones, that's not something that I
Because they
feel.
won't let bygones be bygones.
Stab you in the back after you shake their hand. They'll be like they're
Right.
hey.
No, I that's an unacceptable posture for the party.
That's right. Hey, listen, this is from Sandra. Dave, so happy the judge ruled in your favor. These POS rhinos put all of you through hell. Thank you for always coming on Chuck and Julie's show. Yes. And there are truly many of us out here that support you, so thank you. So thank you, Dave, for what you did and for hanging in there and not throwing in the towel and actually for doing everything you're doing to continue moving forward with this election.
Sure. We're going to do everything we can to help out Trump and, of course, our down ballot nominees. And there's, look, the congressional candidates and the national campaigns, they all get the attention. There's a lot of great local candidates that you guys really need to look into, and it really will make a difference because the state legislature actually affects you more directly than anything else. So be about that, if nothing else.
All right. Dave, thank you so much and congratulations again.
You bet. Take care,
Thank you. All
guys.
right. Oh, people are calling Chuck. All right. Thank you.
That's all right.
Again, from some of the comment from Charlene, that was where was it? Yes, from Charlene, they cause a harm intentionally. Exactly. From Jacob, that was the idea with Trump. Get him to use all of his money on lawfare. Exactly. Then Leo says Barron Trump and Rev Bonnywell 2048. Sandra says she agrees. Oh, Jacob, this is true. It looks like The real estate trial against Trump is going to fall apart in appeal. And then from Charlene, and we all agree with this, I never give up on Dave Williams. So,
Yay.
Hey, well, this is a good party Friday.
It was a good party Friday.
Lots of party, but on Monday, we're going to have Dr. Brian June up. I don't know if you saw his column.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Apparently, Mike Lindell and putting his pillow prices at $14.88. That's a dog whistle for Nazism.
According to the Southern Poverty Law Center.
And
you can believe anything they say.
So we're going to have Dr. June Depp on to talk about that. In the meantime, thank you to Dave and Tim, everybody on Zoom, Thomas at BBS, and Doug. Anything else?
Let's see. I want to thank all the people
who party
I want to thank all the people who supported Dave during this tough time, because there's something special.
All right. Bye, everybody. Party.
Bye-bye.
Party.